Okay. Boy, that took longer than it should have to get everything going. Apologize for that. Running a few minutes late now. Just, my computer wasn't wanting to be active this morning. It was like it was still sleepy. It wanted to sleep in. And it didn't want to connect anywhere. So, good morning, and welcome to our Psalms devotional time. It is good to be with you on this Monday morning, and we're in Psalm 36 today. Psalm 36. It's a great psalm. There's certain psalms, I don't know if you have this background or experience, but there's certain psalms that, as I read them, songs that have been written and performed on the basis of the psalm just pop into my head at various times. And so there's a third day worship song from the 90s called Your Love, O Lord, which is taken from the middle part of Psalm 36. And there's another Maranatha praise and worship song from the 90s that also pops into my head when I read Psalm 36. But and sometimes we have to force ourselves to look beyond, because oftentimes those worship songs, as great as they are, right, they come from a small section of the psalm. So to force ourselves to look at the whole psalm and understand all of what's being said. So let's pray first, and then we'll jump into reading Psalm 36 together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for your kindness to us, your patience with us. Your steadfast love, your covenant faithfulness is so wonderful. It's our life. It's how we're alive. It's how we are breathing. It's how we are living before your presence every day. And so we thank you. As we wake up on this Monday morning, and here at my house, the birds are singing outside and the sun is shining beautifully. It's another day that testifies to your faithfulness and to your steadfast love. So would you speak to us through Psalm 36 today, Father? Please write your word on our hearts. Please show us again who you are, that we might worship you with our lives in spirit and in truth today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4. We'll start. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. So what's interesting about this psalm, and what I said when I said you have to expand yourself beyond the smaller section that the songs that are popular are taken from, to see the context. What's interesting about the context of Psalm 36 is that it is written by David, by the way, for the choir master, and it is written with the wicked in mind, and it's drawing a contrast between unbelievers and the way they act toward God and the way God actually is. So I don't know if it bothers you the way that it bothers me, but it bothers me when I see on social media or I hear in casual conversation from some members of my own family this sort of casual, arrogant disregard of God. Like there is no fear of God before his eyes. So coronavirus comes into the world, and of course you have very unhelpful Christian teachers who are saying things like, oh, you know, God didn't have anything to do with this. This has nothing to do with the Lord. You know, he can certainly figure out a way to make some good happen in the midst of it, but coronavirus itself certainly doesn't come from God, and God isn't in control of it. That's not very helpful, right? And then you have unbelievers who say, oh, is this the work of your God? He designs a virus that targets the elderly and the weak and those with compromised immune systems and sends it out into the world. What a wonderful God you worship. And it's just, it's this arrogance, this self-exalting, like we have all the answers, like we can see everything, like we understand all purposes, right? And that's wrong, right? And that bothered David, too. It bothered him to see people who flatter themselves in their own eyes and who think, oh, if there's a God, he's not going to have anything to do with me. There probably is no God. There's no fear of God before his eyes. And, of course, this goes beyond just those who speak flippant words of arrogance against God. It goes to those who plot evil against God's people, who plot wickedness, selfishness. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. So the whole first part of Psalm 36 is kind of a meditation on the ways of the wicked. So that when we get to verse 5, there's this tremendous contrast. You know, the wicked have no fear of God. They flatter themselves. They make their plans. They don't know how to do good. They only do evil. And in stark contrast with that, your steadfast love, O Lord. And this is really a celebration of God's steadfast love. We see it at the beginning of verse 5, and then again at the beginning of verse 7. Steadfast love, I've mentioned this before, is this wonderfully rich Hebrew word, chesed. And you have to sort of chesed to say it right. And there's no way to really accurately translate chesed into English. And so the ESV goes with steadfast love. Other translations go with loving kindness. Others go with mercy. So actually, loving kindness was actually a word that was coined in English to translate chesed. There never was a word in English as loving kindness until I believe it was William Tyndale who coined the word in order to be able to accurately translate this idea of chesed into English. It is a combination of strength and compassion, of faithfulness and generous kindness that God shows to his people and to his creation, but particularly it's his covenantal love, loyalty, faithfulness, kindness, strength, mercy, tenderness. It's all of that. It's all wrapped up, you know, in a couple of Hebrew letters that we have a hard time translating into English. And that's, many of the Psalms celebrate that, but that's really what the heart of Psalm 36 is. It's a celebration of God's steadfast love, his covenant mercy, his loving kindness, his tender compassion for his own. Your steadfast love extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. So God's steadfast love is great. His faithfulness is high. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. That means it's strong, steadfast, stable, secure, a place where you can hide. All of these things would have been meant by the mountains of God. Strong, steadfast, secure, a place where you can hide. That's God's righteousness for us. Your judgments are like the great deep. So here's a line that we need to meditate on. The judgments of God are like the great deep. What does that mean? We cannot search them out. We cannot know what God is doing, why he's doing it, what his purposes are, what his plans are. Why coronavirus? We don't know. Why most things in the world? We don't know. We know who, and we know the ultimate end of it all. But we don't know in the midst of it. We can't search out the depths of God's judgment. And there's a sense in which the Christian false teachers who say, oh, God had nothing to do with this, and the unbeliever who says, well, what kind of a God would do this? They're both guilty of the same thing. They're both guilty of assuming that they could know the judgment of God, the purposes of God, the plans of God. And for one, he's so good that he would have nothing to do with this. And for the other, he's so non-existent or bad, right? What's the creed of the modern atheist? The creed of the modern atheist is there is no God and I hate him, right? So, but we are called to humility. Worship is a posture before God that says your judgments are like the great deep. I can't search them out. I can't know what you're doing, God. But here's what we do see. Man and beast you save, O Lord. God preserves his creation. He upholds his creation and he saves his own. And when Jesus comes again, he will redeem all of creation. Romans 8 tells us the creation is groaning in eager expectation for the revealing of the sons of God, that creation may be liberated from its bondage. How precious is your steadfast love? So verse 5 was celebrating the extent of God's steadfast love. It extends to the heavens, its faithfulness to the clouds. And verse 7 now is how precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. So you have the strength of the mountains of God, and now you have the tenderness of the refuge of the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. God's goodness satisfies our hunger and our thirst and gives us the ability to see things clearly because he shows them to us. So this is the middle part. The heart of this psalm is just a celebration, a worshipful meditation on God's steadfast love in both its strength and its tenderness and its benefits to us. And then Psalm 36 ends with a plea. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. So here's the plea. Lord, your steadfast love is so great. Please continue to show it to us. Your righteousness is so wonderful and strong and powerful. Please continue to give it to those who know you and who love you. And please don't allow those wicked that we looked at in the beginning verses, please don't let them rule over us, control us, dominate our lives. Let our lives be dominated instead by your steadfast love and by your righteousness. Well, we've come up against the time, so I was going to take a look at Romans 5, but our technical difficulties put us behind schedule, so we'll just save that for another time. Psalm 36 is a wonderful meditation I'd encourage you to just read it again later today and pray through it. And let's pray now. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your steadfast love. Your strength is our strength. And your tenderness and your compassion is our refuge. We can take refuge in the shadow of your wings because you love us. You are as tender-hearted in your compassion to us as you are strong in your strength for us. And who are we to deserve any of this? But you are so good, and you are so right. Father, please have your hand upon your people through this COVID-19 pandemic. Please protect your people. Please strengthen your church. Please let us not become divided over political issues and over feelings that we may have about COVID-19, but let us love each other with patience and let us strive together for unity in the Spirit. Please give our government leaders wisdom as they make decisions. Please give business owners and church leaders wisdom as they make decisions. Please give our healthcare workers wisdom in treating COVID patients and stamina and focus as they serve. And Father, would you carry us through by your hand and for your glory? We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me. Sorry we got off to a little bit of a late start today. I hope you have a wonderful, blessed day, and may the Lord bless you and keep you throughout this day today.